That's why we are here asking a lot of questions, including to our next guest. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is Leafs General Manager Kyle Dubas. Good afternoon, Kyle. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Let's get right to the real important question. How's your golf game, and could you still beat Duffy and O currently?
Oh, my golf game has not been attended to very much for obvious reasons. So I would have to say no, but you never know what could happen out there. We'll hope to get through the next couple weeks and be able to get out a little bit more, but it's golf is well down the priority list at this stage.
And that is the answer every Leaf fan wants to hear right now. Let's start with Zach Hyman. And you answered a lot of questions during your media availability. How difficult is it to kind of balance the emotional attachment to a player like Zach and a guy who means so much to your lineup with also a guy who's in his late 20s? He's 29. He has an injury history. He plays a physical brand of hockey and will also demand and will get a long-term deal.
Well, I think in these situations, you try to evaluate, do you want the player back? And in this case, I think, we can unequivocally say yes. But then it's a matter of going through the AAV that is going to be required to do so, analyzing whether that's whether that fits for us and works for us, and then going through and looking at the term and the long-term risk. And so there's a number of factors, especially with the cap being flat, that come into play for better or worse, and that is where we're at now. So we have some hope still, but these are unfortunately one of the more difficult parts of this, is that you've got a player that's given a lot to the organization and been a great person away from the rink and in the community, and at some point you just have to make these calls, and that's where we're at now.
Kyle, you've heard obviously the stories that he's been talking to Edmonton a little bit. He'll likely have at least the framework of an offer. He can't sign with Edmonton until next Wednesday unless you trade the rights there. But will you go back to the Hyman camp with an offer between now and next Wednesday?
I have not had a discussion with Todd Reynolds today. We'll see where that goes to. We tried, one of the things that we tried to do in this board was, Todd had kind of told me what other teams were hinting at they may do, which were beyond what we had thought we would be willing to do and are able to do, given our constraints with the salary cap and so on. And so last week, last Monday, so 9 days ago now, we gave Todd permission to begin engaging with other groups, and talked to Todd later in the week and Zach as well, and so we'll see where that goes. We try to be kind of get ahead of it a little bit and really ensure that what they thought was going to be out there was out there, and then we'll see where it all lands here in the next week. But we'll continue to have discussion if they're warranted and proceed from there.
Kyle Dubas joining us on Overdrive, and the quote that you had today that got a lot of attention, and no surprise here, but that you believe in this group and you believe that they will win and that you are willing to bet everything on that. Why do you have so much confidence in a group that still hasn't had any success in the playoffs?
I think it's because I don't expect others to look at it and feel the same way, because they've seen, and as fans of the team have lived the disappointment for far longer than I've been a member of the group, and we've been a management group here, and I know all of that stuff has a long-term impact mark on the way that people respond to further disappointment as it goes along. And I don't think anything we say or do today can make anyone feel better about the fact that we fell short of expectation this year, and I think we fell short of the hope that we gave people with the way that we performed in the regular season. And I think that's part of the reason why a lot of people feel the way they do now, not to mention the previous years or decades in some case of the team never getting to the level that the fans want it to get to. But as for why I believe in the group is that I know who they are as people. I see the work that they put in. I know their talent level. And I think it's much better to go through life believing in people or something, even and especially in the face of major doubt or when it's failed and it needs to pick itself back up. And that's just how I feel about the group. And so I'd rather believe and be wrong than doubt and shift course and begin to change the way that we've done it and then look back and regret that, because I do have when I see the players every day in our facility and see the work that they put in and the direction, the criticism that they're willing to take in order to get better, especially of late. I know it hasn't manifested itself in success in the playoffs, but I think if we continue to remain steadfast and stick with our convictions, that belief will be rewarded.
Kyle, there is a school of thought in the NHL and management circles and certainly with fan bases that it's very hard to win when you have four players, all forwards, making half your cap. How do you respond to that?
I would say that the criticism, Gord, is fair, because I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. I think Pittsburgh between the 2007-2010 seasons had a similar breakdown. I don't think it was all forwards, but they had a similar sort of cap concentration amongst the top three or four guys at that time on their club. But I understand the reason why folks would look at that and say, you know, they don't think we can win with that cap construction, because it's not been done. And you know, the reality is that it wasn't the plan from the outset. When we looked at it prior to the pandemic, the cap was going to continue to rise, and we would have our core guys locked up for between 5 and 7 years, and things would the percentage of cap would change as it went on. Unfortunately, the pandemic happened. It's affected people outside of athletics and professional sports far more than it's impacted us, but we have to adapt to it. And I think by moving out the players that we really like, I don't think we would find better players than them. And so it falls on me and our management team to find the pieces around the group that can continue to have it break through. So I understand why people doubt it. I don't try to fight the doubt and criticism of it. I think it's up to us to show that we can do it. Until then, I think people having their doubts about it are completely fair, and it's on us to show that we can earn that belief from outside of our facility, whether it's fans or media, others in the league, whomever that may be. But I don't begrudge that or try to combat that at all. It's up to us to show that it can work.
He is the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's Kyle Dubas joining us on Overdrive. You avoided losing anyone from last year's roster in the expansion draft, and that happens after you make the move to acquire Jared McCann, who is now going to Seattle. Is this how you envision the day playing out? And maybe the better question is this the way that you had hoped the day would play out yesterday?
We didn't really have any hope, Mark, in terms of in terms of who we would lose or not. The way that we looked at it was we wanted to get through the expansion draft with losing as little as we could from our roster, or without having a big time effect on the roster where we would then have to go out and trade in free agency and have to replace the player. And so we took really from the trade deadline on, tried to acquire as much information as we could about, you know, who Seattle may be looking at, who they may be favoring. And as we went through it, I think the determination was that, you know, if we were to go with 7-3, that they would certainly select a defenseman, and that defenseman would likely be Justin Hall, or the market for Hall would be so great elsewhere that they could take him and flip him. And so our decision was, in the way that we went through, was could we could we leave Hall exposed and expect for him to go unselected? And if he were selected, could we expect to replace him and what he brings at the cap hit that that he plays for? And our determination was that no, we cannot. So then we went through the rest of our process and tried to determine who they would likely take, if we went 4-4, and then could we replace that player, and what was going to be the best way to go about that free agency. And then eventually the opportunity came along to add another player in trade who we knew may be of interest, and then really force Seattle into pick between one of our two players. And so if we got out from expansion, having given up a very late pick and a prospect, that would be a good outcome for us. If Seattle were to take another forward, we would have McCann as a replacement, and then be able to proceed from there. So it's kind of just hedging the risk for us a little bit, and trying to get through it without giving up as much as other teams, or finding a way to get through as unscathed as possible, because we were going to lose something in expansion regardless.
Leaf GM Kyle Dubas is with us. Kyle, Jack Campbell has never started more than 26 games in a season. That was 2 years ago between L.A. and Toronto. So with that in mind, two-part question. Number one, I mean, is it reasonable to think he'll start 50-plus? And secondly, how much of a focus, where does getting another goaltender rank on your list of priorities?
Oh, it's a big priority, Gord. I think you have a lot of belief in Jack, for sure. I think, you know, he would have surpassed that number easily if it would have been a full season this year, but still not up in the range that you mentioned there at 50 games. I think for us, the key is we can talk about all the other parts of our roster that we want, but if we don't properly supplement our goaltending and provide a partner for Jack that can challenge him, and the two of them can support each other, and when either of them may have a rough pass, the other can pick them up, I think we'll be putting ourselves in a tougher position. So that really for us is a key as we head into next week. And if next week there isn't a market there, then we'll check down to looking at trades throughout the summer and heading into the season. So you know, we've built up a little bit of depth there in our minor league system. We've got four other guys already signed there between Michael Hutchinson, Eric Colgren, Joe Wall, and Ian Scott. But you know, one of our key focuses will be on finding a really good partner for Jack here, knowing that we've got the depth part taken care of. And then our hope is that Jack continues to develop and evolve, and shows that the way that he played throughout the season and into the playoffs, he's able to do that all throughout the season. And then we found a long-term solution there. And if not, then we've got a solid partner for him for sure that can challenge for that same slot in our goaltending depth chart.
Is Frederik Andersen still part of that equation?
Yeah, no, the door is definitely not closed on Fred.
Okay.
So with that in mind, I mean, as it stands right now, you have about $9.5 million in cap space. You've got, 10 forwards, I think 6 defensemen, a goalie under contract. So if it's either Hyman or a Hyman replacement and a goalie, you don't have a lot of space, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say, Gord. I think you're alluding to basically one more spot on the forward group, and then I think we'll also look to increase our depth on defense and really look at depth players, which is sort of interchangeable in terms of the cap, as long as they're below a certain threshold, to improve our depth up front as well. So, you know, I think you'll see a lot of those moves from us. The key focus is, of course, you alluded to up front and in goal, and we view it as having a little bit more flexibility than that, because we think we can, between guys who were here last year or various free agents that we've kind of, as we've sort of gone to this process, we've got ourselves a pretty extensive list of guys that we feel for lower dollars can come in, and if we find a few of them, they can really challenge on the forward front. Then we can have a little bit more flexibility at the top of our forward lineup as well. And we've got guys I think we want to see with an opportunity next season as well to do more, whether it's an Ilya Mikheyev or Nick Robertson or Pierre Engvall, all those different types of things. We can move, we can move Kerfoot over to the wing as well and have that option, and we can look for more of a bottom of the lineup center to to supplement him, so we have that flexibility. So we don't. This is more flexibility certainly than we had last year in free agency, and so we have to check off our priorities and then be able to really excel in the depth areas, which I think it, and it's on me. We haven't done that well in the past. I'm more speaking of last year and this year. Just have to do a better job there.
Kyle, I know you won't use this as an excuse in the series against Montreal, but losing John Tavares so early in that series was a big blow to the lineup, and thankfully he's doing okay. The nature of the offseason is we don't get a lot of updates. How is John doing, and what is sort of the forecast for him as you get a little bit closer to training camp in the fall?
Sure. Yeah, John's been fully cleared to return to all on ice activity, but I think you know there'll still be the fact that he won't have been in contact situations and such until we get back into training camp. Maybe in some of those informal skates before that the players run, he may be able to replicate a little bit of that. But you know, I think with an injury of that nature, you know, you're always a little bit you're not always a little bit. You're always very cautious about the way that that a player returns. I think in this case, with there being a lot of time elapsing between the injury there in late May and training camp opening in mid-September, I think that's a good thing for us. But you know, and certainly for John. So now we'll just we've got to do everything we can to make sure to the type of injury where we can't we certainly can't. Take anything lightly. We've got to do right by John, and we certainly will. But all indications are that that he'll be good to go. It'll just be a matter of him getting back into rhythm as best he can, and us supporting him in that regard.
Kyle, I know it's a busy day. We appreciate you coming on the show, and maybe you'll play a round of golf soon. Well, you know, once some of this business is done.
Yeah, golf will definitely be well down the list, but I hope you're right. Thanks, guys.
Let's go.
Thank you. There's Kyle Dubas joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Don't be nervous having your trade-in appraised. Maple Toyota makes it easy, offering the maximum value for your vehicle. Get your no-obligation appraisal today, MapleToyota.com.